the unsigned, actually, that it's actually wonderful to have a lot of people come in.
Here's the list.
So what happened? What was the result?
We have an extension until June 30th. And then we created a plan to rewrite the amendment, the ordinance stuff. Okay. Docket item 360.
Yeah, you can have Dolak.
Okay.
That's the new bylaw. Somebody has to be
maintaining. Where
I want to move this along. Hold it. 360.09, Alderman Sandro and Johnson requesting establishment of revolving account to accept and expend up to $50,000 in donations for the purpose of fencing or other improvements to off-leash dog groups. This came out of our last discussion.
Yeah. So we talked about possibly, I think one of the members, I can't remember who it was it Lee McIntyre?
Yeah, could be.
Had suggested that they might be able to raise funds if they knew, for fencing, if they knew that a dog park would be permanent.
Right.
But if it wasn't permanent, then they couldn't raise it. But we talked about possibly creating an account, a revolving account, to accept those donations in the event that they are able to become permanent. So I thought Karen had called me, and I thought $50,000 was a good start.
Okay. I totally agree. Any comments?
Do we have to designate an amount?
Yes,
you have to in this document.
I can't remember how this works. I mean, we don't have the funds to put into it.
No, but that's what you can accept.
Up to $50,000. Okay, yeah. I just wanted to get clarification on that.
And there's actually no real limit on how much it can be. You just have to set one. You can always change it.
Yeah.
Well, why don't you go higher so you don't have to change it?
Because I didn't want it to be viewed by the public that it was so high that they had to raise that. So I figured something more reasonable, like $50,000. If you want to change it, change it.
Well, can I use this for just a question about, because it may be a parens too here. The revolving account is itself a way of taking contributions, but we've seen with revolving accounts and contributions in other cases that they tend to be relatively modest. Now, maybe they'll be sufficient to be expended, and I don't know exactly whether the revolving account is expended by the executive with the consent of the board or was just done straight out. But to follow up on Alderman Brandel's earlier point and the one I was making, I think that we've got to find a revenue stream that's going to be sufficient to manage this problem. And there was discussion about trying to get the dog license, all the dogs in the city properly licensed, and that revenue, I think, is dedicated to another purpose. It used to be going to the books in the library,
no,
but I think it's no longer
just goes into
general fund.
Yeah.
But is there any need for us to consider a resolution to the mayor or something as part of this process to have some mechanism whereby that we can have a fee income that is related to the dog users that will provide the resources necessary to do this? Because I'm if I were, maybe the unnamed male candidate who showed up at the park has a particular funding mechanism in mind, but I'm not sure about that. But
you didn't mention
it. You would have to Cold Springs with an unnamed mayoral candidate, but then he used the pronoun he. So, Alderman Brandel, then his man.
Yeah, and I don't know if this would be a separate parameter how you handle it procedurally, but I totally agree with the idea that the dog licenses should be probably the funded, that funds that we derive from those should be examined in terms of their level and as well as whether those should be funneled into this type of fund. And another idea I've heard is a separate dog license for people who use the parks themselves. If they would pay a higher fee for use of the parks, and that money would go toward funding this. So maybe we might want to put something in place where we explore this, or...
Well, I was thinking we just make the programs and services conducted an item to explore revenue streams for this, but I don't think that precludes that we don't do this.
Okay.
Okay. Exactly. I think we establish this so there's a place that people can collect donations and so forth, but meanwhile, I think we need to examine, because I agree with you, the whole idea of people who are going to have use off-leash that they should pay another $10 or whatever, $50, I don't know.
Five.
$5,000.
I didn't even have your dog license.
No. I do too.
So can we just settle on this one, which is the revolving account with a ceiling of $50,000, Alderman Friedman?
I just have a question on how this works. So does this, if the board passes this, does this create the account, or does it merely authorize the executive to create?
No, please.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
It gets created.
Somehow it gets created. I don't know whether the executive does it, but...
Well, I mean, the comptroller actually, but it's so there's a place, it creates the bucket that people can donate money to.
It's kind of like what we were trying to do with the libraries, but we ended up not having to do it because we have private donations.
I think I would... I'm sorry. Procedurally, I think we take that action... Finance will ask the controller specifically if there's anything that has to be adjusted in this when it gets
finance. Okay. Yeah. Part of the reason is because I know the finance audit subcommittee has been trying throughout this term to clean up a lot of excess accounts. So I hope we don't just create an account that's really unnecessary.
Yeah. There's some interest in this one.
Yeah, we want the fence one. Yes.
Well, I'm prepared to vote for this now, so I'll move approval on it.
Okay. Yeah. All right. So motion to approve. Any further discussion? If not, all those in favor? That's Sanjolo, Merrill, Friedman, Hespian, Johnson, Brandel, and Baker. Thank you.
And then just in terms of the programs and services item, I mean, I think we need to explore the possible sources of funding. One of the problems with having it be the general dog license fee, I think, is the Emerson College case, and I just don't want to, I don't want to commit to a certain path. Find out later we need to so it happens the law department figure out what kind of fee would be most appropriate. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I know what you're saying. It's a shorthand for the fact that you can't charge a fee for a regulation that is in effect a tax, that you pay for the cost of administration, whatever that is.
Even if it's on a definite subgroup, which is getting a fee for their dog, if they're not going to use the dog park, and you open yourself up to a complaint from somebody, which is, I don't use the dog park, why do I have to do
this? Exactly. Well, that's why I think having a fee for users. All right, so we have two items that the committee is docketing. One is for re-examine the whole dog ordinance, dog off-leash ordinance.
Right.
And then to explore sources of revenue. Okay? Right? So do we don't need to...
Well, I think can I just suggest the phrasing that explore sources of revenues to implement a dog park system in the city.
Or fund the dog park.
Yep. Okay. So we don't need to do anything.
No.
Okay. All right. So that takes care of that. The next item is docket item 12409, Alderman Johnson, St. Joe's proposing to limit the number of terms held by the chairman of the committees of the Board of Aldermen. As you may remember, when we were looking to limit the terms of the board president, several of, if I remember correctly, there were 7 or 8 members of the board said they could seriously consider limiting the chairs because that's where people seem to get placed in there for years and years and years. So Amy and I met with Dan Funk, and we have 2 versions here. So everybody has that in front of them, I think.
Well, Chairman, just the process. The reason we didn't get this in the packet?
Yes, because there was a miscommunication. Okay, but we're going to do it. They're very simple. We don't have to vote tonight, Alderman Baker. So
it's
not this tough, okay? So let's look at version 1.
Well, no.
We also, while we're going through this, we had some interesting cleanup that you will see as well. So first of all, they didn't have in our board rules and have the correct number of committees. We have 9 committees versus 7. So that's just a
housekeeping.
So in B, in version 1, the president shall designate from among members of each committee the chairman who shall serve at the president's pleasure. No member shall serve as chairman of the same committee for more than 3 consecutive terms. That's it. That's version 1. Okay. Then when we get to version 2, there was some interesting verbiage in our rules that you probably all don't realize. And it was very confusing, but it prompted Alderman Sanjolo, and I at least have put it out there, this was not in the original thing, because there was a thing in the first, in section A, about, and you'll see it over on the deleted, provided that the board may determine to choose the members by ballot. And that is, you open your rules book and that's there. We're going,
That never happened.
That never happened. I didn't know that was an option. So we thought, well, that ought to come up. However, we did come up with an alternative. Each committee shall choose its own chairman from among its members who shall serve at the pleasure of the committee. No member shall serve as chairman of the same committee for more than 3 consecutive terms. So those are the 2 options. Version 1 reflects the original intent as we had put in our docket item, and it's just we think that we ought to delete section, actually it's in both version 1 and version 2, provided the board may determine choose members by ballot. We thought that would just, you know, somebody try to do that would just raise havoc if all committee members were selected by ballot, because that's what it's saying. So we're moving that get cleaned up, and then section B is the limiting the chairs, but also saying that the chair would be selected by committee members. Yes, right. Alderman.
Just the third one, too. The chairman of each committee shall appoint the vice chairman.
Oh, okay. I'm
and
sorry.
We deleted subject to the approval of the president.
Okay.
Is that a change or something?
Yeah. That would be a change.
I'm sorry, I missed that one. So there are more changes in version 2 than 1. Yes, President Baker.
And that was the thing that we didn't realize, that the chairman of each committee shall appoint the vice chairman, because we don't remember that happening. But we don't know whether it happens or not.
I can tell you.
Okay. Sorry.
I think that if I can make a recommendation that for purposes of discussion, you consider the sort of the 3 different items. The first is what happens to A. I think A is housekeeping and makes sense regardless, and I'm perfectly happy to support that. The question of the chairman's term limits is something that I'd like to talk about and deal with that. The question of the vice chairman is also something that I'd like to talk about. And so they're the 3 separate pieces. If it's the will of the chair of the committee to approve A now, I'd be perfectly happy to see that as sort of part A of this process.
That's
and carry that forward.
Yep.
But I would not be prepared to support B or C, if I can confirm that, because of reasons I'll explain in a minute. But I just want to ask procedurally what you're open to.
C is the current language, isn't it?
No, C would be taking the vice chairman. And I'm sorry, there are 2 different versions of... I'm just talking about...
Oh, I know, I get it. All right, I'm slow, but I'm slow.
Okay. Because the version 1, Alderman has my hand, is the 9 is just a Scrivener's. I don't think anyone needs to vote on that.
Yeah,
B, all it is what the original intent based on the discussion on the floor of the board to limit terms. When Alderman Sangiolo and I sat together with Dan Funk, there was some funky language, pardon the expression, in the board rules as written, which is the... look at the, on section A, the deleted phrase provided from the board may determine to choose the members by ballot, and we both agreed that that was, should we go down that road, would be a terrible mess. And then the second deletion, we've got a substitution, but then there was the chairman of each committee shall appoint a vice chair, and if you look, that is the way it's written. All we are proposing that it is subject to the approval of the president. If you're a chairman, whether appointed by the president or voted by committee members, could, you know, select his or her own vice chair. So, anyway, so these are on the table. Yes.
Just to be clear, the change in number A on one document is just one thing, which is the 9, and the other, it's the other.
Right.
So, for purposes of just...
No, both. Deleted 7 and deleted provided that the board...
I'm sorry, I misread my balloons.
Yes.
Okay. I guess I'd be prepared to move the Part A amendment, if that's
real. Both of those?
Yeah, don't you think? I mean, they're housekeeping.
From 7 to 9.
Well, no, because the second part of it's not just housekeeping, provided the board may determine to choose members by ballot. That's not just housekeeping.
It's just something that we've never done, right?
Yeah, but I've never seen it done, and I can't imagine how it would be done, to be honest.
Well, But I'm just saying, it's not housekeeping.
Okay.
Not 7 to
That's
9,
true.
It's housekeeping.
All right. So, we're discussing provided...
we're doing A.
The ballot.
Yeah, well, eight is the same.
Let's agree on 9. Can we agree on 9?
We all agree to that.
That was where we
agreed.
All right.
I think
it's the second
a picture of low-hanging fruit right next to 9.
Yeah, that's right.
No, it's the second one, provided that the board may determine to choose the members by ballot. Is there consensus that that is a useful
question?
Sure.
How did that get in there? I'm not sure.
I don't think anybody, I never knew what was there.
Dan had no idea? I mean,
he was reading it with us, and we were like, oh, did that ever happen? So.
I've been on this board for 26 years. I've never seen it happen. I've never seen anybody
refer. But leaving it there allows it to happen.
I understand.
So and our recommendation is to take it off.
I'm going to abstain on it, only because I want to ask, see if I can find somebody who knows how it got in there.
Like Paul's?
Somebody who knows how.
Okay. So, President Baker, would you like to move both of those deletions on A, because it's the same on both versions?
Sure.
Okay. There's a motion on the table to approve both deletions on Section A. Any further discussion? If not, all those in favor? Merrill, Johnson, Randall, and Baker. All opposed and abstentions? That's Friedman, Angiolo, and that's my hand. Okay.
Didn't you recommend this?
No, I did.
Part of the royal we?
No, because when we had discussed it, there was dissension among between us about whether that should come out or not, because I think, oh, that's kind of neat. Let's just keep that in. At least some of us would have
a little
power.
Chaos.
The beginning of anyway.
Like,
okay.
It's like Mrs. Dash for the board.
Okay. Yeah. What I'd like to do is...
You're so host. No leafleting.
I would like to discuss the item. If you go to version one, no member shall serve as chairman of the same committee for more than 3 consecutive terms. I'd like to take that piece along right now. Just that piece. I'm not going to worry about the other
piece. Do you like some discussion?
Sure.
Okay. I don't think it's any great surprise that I would not support it. One of the things that I brought is a copy of the committee roster.
Do we have the number of years each chairman served?
No, I don't. But I
had David.
You did. I just couldn't find it. I didn't know where.
I would like to know that. I think that's an important piece of evidence, if you will.
I thought that was what you were going to hand out because David prepared a.
I'm sorry. No, I don't know where it went.
Well, I think we can figure it out pretty easily.
Everybody got a copy of the. This is just what everybody has. But I just want to.
Yes.
And this is somewhat related to the second item about the vice chairs. We have 9 standing committees and 1 special committee that I've appointed since I've been president. We have 24 members. We have a president and a vice president. And traditionally, the 2 officers don't serve as in the role of a chairman or a vice chairman. So it effectively means that we have 20 chairman and vice chairman to fill, plus 2 officers, and if we have a president emeritus like we did last time, that means that you've got 1 person who's not serving as a chairman or vice chairman. Part of the challenge the president has, whoever is in this role, I've happened to have served for the last 3 terms, but is to try and put together the roster of committees and satisfy as many people as possible, and then ask people to serve as chair and vice chair. While the president can assign committees, members of the committee, people do not have to serve. Can I just say that I asked Alderman Sangiola to serve, and she declined at one point. I asked Alderman, Gentile. About whether he'd be willing to serve, and he declined. Now, that was not, that was all part of it. It was an unusual circumstance. He felt, just to be clear about it, he felt that he'd run for president, and it didn't really seem like he was doing it in order to be in some role as a leadership capacity. So, But all of that goes on as a conversation I have had with a number of members of the board about where they can serve, and seniority governs a lot of this, as we all know, because people have been on the board for a while that like to serve in particular committees. So it doesn't mean changes can't be made. I made a change in the Finance Committee, for example, where Alderman Johnson became a member, and asked another member to step aside. So there are circumstances where things can occur. All I'm saying is that I think you really need to have the maximum degree of flexibility. And there is some turnover on the board just as the way things happen. Paul is now leaving the board, so there'll be a vacancy in Finance. And whoever's going to be president is going to have to deal with that vacancy. Alderman Park is leaving. There's a vice chairmanship that's open there. So there are a number of things that just sort of happen, and when you move one piece of the puzzle around, the others move. And I just think it's very important to have the flexibility. So that's the short of it. And if this rule were to pass, it would also mean that you would, by definition, mean that you would lose, or put it another way, that there would be certain members who would be ineligible to continue to serve. Alderman Schiffer would be ineligible to continue to serve as chair of public facilities. Alderman Yates would be ineligible to serve. Alderman Johnson would be ineligible to serve. Alderman Mansfield would be ineligible to serve. So,
the commutation of sentence, we'll call it.
Chair of that committee. But they could chair of another committee.
I understand.
Gates, too.
So, I just point out that that means that whoever is serving as president has now, instead of 24 players to work with, he's got, or she's got, 20.
No, because they're still the same number. You just kind of put, and we'll use programs and services. It's just whoever's president wouldn't be able to put me back in the spot.
Right. I could move her over to Brian's spot. I could move Brian over to her spot. I could, you know, you could move everybody around.
But then you probably have to change people's committee assignments to make it work.
Well,
no, I mean, that, again, one of the, just point out, this is the challenge that I face as somebody trying to put the board together, which is really what we've been trying to do. The president, one of the key jobs the president has is trying to put the board together and satisfy people as much as possible to serve on committees they would like to serve on, given all the other kind of institutional history we have about honoring seniority and so forth. And I'd like to think that all 24 of us came pretty close to where we wanted to be in terms of committee assignments last time, but it wasn't easy to do that. Now, fortunately, different people have different preferences. Alderman Colletti, for instance, I think would have not wanted to go on zoning and planning from all of his statements. He's been a member of Finance for years. So part of the challenge of this is to put all these pieces together and make it work. And I just respectfully suggest that putting this kind of change in is not going to be well advised. Okay.
Alderman Brennan?
So thank you for letting me make such a
remark.
I'm
sending an email to Karen and David Olson right now with an attachment. I thought that I'd asked David to distribute this, but maybe I forgot. I had David go back and look at who the committee chairs were since 1990. And I haven't decided by any means which way I'm going to vote on this, but I'm just sharing this information with you. It's food for thought. I thought you might be interested. First of all, we no longer have administration and planning, human services, legislation and rules, or committee on reevaluation. I've only survived for one term, so I guess you reevaluated and everything's fine. The Committee on Ward Lines was a single year.
That comes up every ten years.
And it's traditionally all the ward aldermen.
Yeah,
So we haven't had that since 1985.
I personally say
it's not on you. Anyway.
Yes, I remember that.
That was the year we had him with the lines.
Yeah,
I remember that.
Let's not revisit
my
that.
Word in process.
Anyway, the information I wanted to just share with you is, for instance, for finance, we've had the same finance chair for the last 8 terms, and then 3 terms 16 years. Interrupted by somebody else in the middle. So that was Alderman Colletti for 11 out of the last 12 terms. For public safety, Alderman Samuelson was for 4 terms. Alderman Ciccone had 2, the senior, not the junior, Jay. On land use, Alderman Basham was there for 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 8 terms, excuse me.
before that, three terms with Cindy Cream, and following that, three terms from Alderman Mansfield. Programs and services, in recent memory, President Baker was chair for two terms. Alderman Gentile's chair for two terms, Alderman Parker chair for two terms, and Alderman Johnson for the last four terms. In zoning and planning, Rodney Barker for two terms, and then Yates, 7, 8, 9 terms. Public facilities, Alderman Schnipper, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 the last terms. In between was McGuire, Salvucci for three terms, and a few people before that. Anyway, I won't go through the entire list. I think you get the picture. There hasn't been a lot of movement in and around. As I said, I haven't made up my mind yet. I just don't know which way I'm going to go. I will have this email to everybody so they can at least have the information.
Good. Thank you, Ted, for doing that. Yeah. Okay. Alderman Brandel.
Okay. I want to pose a question for the chair. Or if I just
turn to my colleague and ask.
Without term limits, you know the sentiment of the board is essentially that we do want rotation in committee chairs. I may disagree with that, but I think that's the sense of the board. Aside from term limits, what other options might you propose?
Execution.
Well, there's that.
Oh, I'm sorry. It was last term.
Well, I think really this is a judgment call you have to make at some point. I mean, there are. I have to say that there is a little bit of this process that, having gone through it, that it's hard for me to explain without getting into some person, some conversations that people ask that they be kept somewhat to themselves. In other words, that you have to be able to ask people their opinion and then take it in and then make the best judgment you can.
You can tell us.
We won't tell anybody. Oh, sorry. You and your friends.
The open meeting law.
And so part of the challenge is that you're trying to satisfy as many people about themselves. There are also conversations that go on all through this process about why are you doing this for somebody else? You know, there's a little bit of this. And so part of my challenge, as I've viewed it, but whoever's going to have this job is going to have that challenge, is to try and satisfy as many people's individual ambitions, but not necessarily all their ambitions for other people, either positive or negative. And that's always an issue. In the sense of alternatives, there are some times when people's experience is really quite good, and by saying this, what I'm about to say, I'm not implying that, A, if I'm candidate for president, that B, that I'm elected, that it will happen. But if Alderman Johnson, for example, is a chairman who has done, I think, an excellent job as chair, I don't think there is an automatic need to change that chair if there is experience and expertise. So I would have to tell you that I think it's important that the president have the capacity to choose whoever he or she thinks will do the best job, not necessarily based on the terms that served. And I do think there is a rotation through the system. I think Alderman Colletti's circumstance was quite unusual. But that's the sort of outline.
Okay, thank you.
I'm not sure I've given you a fully responsive answer.
Well, fine, carefully. That's your philosophy.
Yeah, okay.
So, what is the rotation? What is the natural sense of rotation? When someone leaves?
Yeah.
Gets voted
Do we have to wait until somebody gets either?
It's like a stop sign. You don't put one up until someone gets killed.
But I mean, you know. One of the reasons that I am in favor of this is because I think there's a lot of talent on the board that never gets realized because people get comfortable in their roles, whether it's a chair or not, whether it's the person who wants to be chair who goes to you to say, look, I've been chair and I want to continue to be chair, or because. I don't know, you just get used to it. But anyway, there's so much talent that's not realized. And I think also there are a number of members who serve on the Board of Aldermen who might want to aspire to be, say, chair of finance or vice chair of finance, but kind of feel like they're stuck because, you know, they're the junior alderman and the senior alderman get this sort of first dibs on which committees they're going to get. So, and then they'll never get that chance. And I'll use the example of
I can tell you is that I've served on this board 26 years, and I've seen turnover occur and change occur, and people have been replaced at times. It hasn't been a happy situation when they've been, in some cases. I won't go into the details.
I'm sure it hasn't been, but, you know, sometimes that's sort of life, right? You know, what you've been doing, your process has been, tell me which committees you want, and then it's ultimately your decision. But because at least I feel like you're kind of stuck, that you have that moral quandary or you're stuck with that philosophy, you're not going to be able to branch out and give other people an opportunity.
I don't think that's automatic, but I'm just trying to say that part of the function of the president in the appointment process is to try and make sure that the board functions as best as possible as a harmonious operation. We can have discord about issues, but I think if you look at the composition of the committees in the last term, I haven't had a sense that people were sitting here chafing about what committees they were on. They may have had disagreements about the individual chairs, but I'm pointing out the challenge again of staffing that. I won't bore you with the details of the process, but I can't tell you how many hours I put in to put this together.
Well, I think part of the quandary that a president and you in the most recent years face, because you have, and I'm just going to talk about the nine major committees because I think the other ones have lesser contention around them, that it's your decision and your decision alone who's going to be chair. And, you know, in whatever conversations you have, I don't know. Whereas if you had a board rule that says after three terms, and I'll use just myself as an example, Marcy, you can't serve anymore. And that's fine. So it's not yet like you're making a decision that I can't serve anymore. And I could say, that's great, or, gee, that's too bad, I wish, but, you know, you could take me off for a term, and if I got elected at the end, you could put me back if you wanted to play, you know, kind of like the school committee does. But what it would say is, okay, so I'm not going to be chair of programs and services, but maybe there's another committee that I've never sat on. And I think there's some conversations that probably don't happen that could happen amongst the aldermen of a ward. Because we have representation of each ward on each of these nine committees, you know, I mean, I cannot be on the same committee that Susan is on or Steve is on. So I think there's a better way to do it than what's been happening, and I think this takes some of that sting out that, oh, sorry, Marcy, you're done. You know, so let's look at other options. And I think you're exactly right, Amy, this untapped talent that and I think finance is a good example. I think zoning and planning is another one, where there are some people, really good people, and this is not disparaging anything of Alderman Colletti or Brian, but, you know, sometimes the new blood brings a whole new view. Yes, Alderman Grimble.
To pick up on that point, I think not to get all corny and red, white, and blue here, but or black and yellow, whatever our city colors are, but our primary role here is to be the legislative body and to represent the public. To me, the ideal would be to rotate chairmanships to reflect that. I think that in almost any particular committee, take this one for example, as capable as Alderman Johnson is, I look around the table and can see any number of people who could step up and chair this committee, and Marcy could be sitting in that chair and having a substantial amount of impact, and you don't lose one iota of institutional knowledge. Or maybe Chairman Johnson moves over to zoning and planning, or public safety.
I've been there.
Hey, the honor, right? Yeah, honestly, you're right. This is what happens when you bring Mrs. Dash to chairmanship. So,
there you go.
So
insulting
you. Insulting Mrs. Dash. Yeah.
Why, are you guys down on Mrs. Dash? I'm the only Midwesterner. Anyway, so. So anyways, the point, I think, is when you think about the churn aspect of it, I think that by changing places at the table, you provide a new perspective for each member to have in relationship to the chairmanship. So I think anything that would help enable that would be a positive. If it's going this route, then I support that. Or if somebody can come up with another route that doesn't involve term limits, I would support that as well. But I would just say, I don't, from a political standpoint, I don't see anything healthy about having somebody in a city be chair of a committee for, you know, 5, 6, 7, 8 terms. I mean, what does that do to engender public trust? That person could just as easily be on the committee, but do they have to chair it? What happens with those? How many times have you sat in a board meeting, I'm not going to mention any particular chairman of any particular committee, talk about a conversation that he and he alone had with the mayor? Okay, when
that must have been me.
When okay, I've said he to camouflage she, but anyway, I'm getting tricky. But the point being, seriously, that's not healthy, and it makes you feel disenfranchised as a board member. Just think how the public feels about that. So, from a purely representational standpoint, I think that this, unless another alternative comes forward, I'd support this.
Okay. Can I just add one other perspective? Remember that this is not like the state legislature where a chairman gets additional compensation. The chairman's honor comes with work, more work.
And, unless you don't have a really good committee clerk.
But even so, and there is some institutional memory and expertise, but part of the challenge is that if someone can't serve as a chair, and you're asking him to take on that burden, then the ability to get a vice chair, is going to be a challenge. I just have to say, I think you, I understand the policy, but the idea of a force change is just, again, I think going to create more difficulty than it's worth. That's just my opinion.
Okay.
Thank you. I look at this, and I can sort of view this two different ways. I mean, one is sort of philosophically, and the other is pragmatically. And if I look at it philosophically, I say, wait a minute. You know, we're a democratic body. We're the ultimate democratic body. We are an elected body. We're a bunch of elected officials. We know how things work. We elect our own leaders. Why do we need to have a rule like this that seems to really gum up the works? We should, you know, if there's really a problem with a chairman, we should be able to deal with it. The side I look at is the pragmatic. And the practical reality, Lyle's comments aside, is that we've had at least 3 chairmen of major committees who've been there a very long time as of right now. And I sort of agree that that's just not healthy. So the pragmatic side suggests that there really is a deficiency in the philosophy. It's not working to give the amount of turnover we need. But the other side of the pragmatic piece is, how can we actually make it happen? Now, it's pretty easy for me to look at this thing and, you know, if I say, okay, well, this person's been chair for too long, so they can't be chair. This person is, you know, first year on the board, they can't be chair. This person is the board president or vice president, they can't be chair. So who's left? It doesn't seem that hard to find at least 4 names on every committee. But the part that I don't know and I don't have a comfort with is how many of those people are willing to step up and take on that role. I don't know. I don't have a sense of that. And I guess I haven't asked anybody that question. So if the answer to that question is we would find sufficient people to step up and take that role, then I do actually find a lot of weight from the pragmatic side of this and say maybe this is something that we should consider as a rules change.
Can I just respond to that? I'm going to use this committee because I don't want to make assumptions. But I can think of 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 people, putting Alderman Baker aside, because he's president, and he's leaving. 5 people who could be chair of this committee without even changing the committee. Right there. And I bet you could walk through that. In this, based on what we are saying here, Alderman Linsky still could be. Because he's only been, this is his first term as chair of public safety, correct?
Yes.
So it's really, and then finance we know is changing because of Paul leaving the board. So it's land use, zoning and planning, public facilities. I mean, public facilities, because programs and service, I'm very confident that at least I know at least two or three people who would rise to the occasion if asked. May even volunteer. That would be my assumption. I don't know on the other three. I have my own perceptions. So that's my thought. But I just know it ain't working now. Yes, Alderman has
one. Well, I'm sort of where Alderman Friedman is. I mean, there's a lot of pros to a seniority-based system. There's a lot of pros to a term limits-based system. There's a lot of pros to, well, in Bill's view, I suppose there's fewer pros to the political system, which is, you know, in order to get elected president of the board or in order to get, you know, certain things done, you appoint various people to what they want to be appointed to. So I really can't decide which system works best, because I just don't know. I have never worked in another system. I don't know that the system's necessarily broken, but I need a little more thought on it before I'm convinced that it's broken.
Can I raise one other point? Just a practical one. I think your illustration program of service is very useful. Let me just point out why I think it's useful. Because if you take a look at the committee, you're right that around this table there's certainly anyone who's the chair.
And I got chairs of all the other committees too. It's like my opinion, but I don't want to talk about it.
I understand. But let me just point out the challenge that somebody in my capacity, and again, somebody in my capacity,
not necessarily me.
Alderman Merrill is the chair of a substantive committee, Real Property Reeves. Now, it doesn't meet often, but it meets occasionally when it has a problem to deal with, and you need to have a chair of that committee. Alderman Hesmahan is chair of the Long Range Planning Committee. You need somebody to chair that committee. Can't really use that person. Alderman Brandel, the vice chair, he's new, but, you know, you point out it's rare to put somebody in the chairman's role just after the first term. Alderman Parker, who is vice chair of community preservation, and he'd been on the board a long time, but he'd served as a chair of the committee before he'd actually chaired this committee.
Right, my first term.
I'll leave myself out, and then Alderman Friedman's the vice chair. So part of the problem is that when you actually sit down and try and run this whole put together, and you have to ask people to serve, because as chair, vice chair, it's not like putting them on the committee. You have to get their willing consent. It is a challenge to get all of the pieces together. So I understand all of the arguments, and in a kind of a generalized sense, it sure would simplify life if you just said, well, everybody's three terms. But all I can say is I'm not sure the board will function as well.
Oh, but see, you left out me, and I didn't want to do it the last 2 years. But see, if Marcy had been term limited off, I may have risen to the occasion and said, well, you know, maybe it should be someone senior if all these other folks have different committees. And it also would have been possible, it could be possible, and only Ted can answer this, that perhaps Ted would have been interested in going for the Programs and Services Chair as opposed to the Long Range Planning Committee Chair, and that could have gone to somebody else. So there are
or we could have swapped.
Right. There are some unknowns.
Yeah.
Right.
Perfectly
true.
Alderman Brendel.
Can I ask this from a practical standpoint? This is from my limited perspective of one term on the board. I don't mean to demean anybody in saying this, but what do the vice chairman actually do from a practical standpoint?
I'm in charge of vice.
Okay, sorry. I didn't know.
We chair the meeting in the absence of the chairperson. When I worked with Marcy, I don't know how it works with Marcy and John, but we did actually work a lot together on flow.
Yeah, we still do.
Vice chairman is everything the chairman tells him to.
Actually, I have to say, since we've had Karen, she does most of the agenda setting. When Rosalie, who wasn't quite up to the, anyway, Ted and I took a much more active role in setting the agenda and so forth, and so now Karen pretty much is able to. Because she sits at them. I mean, Rosalie didn't come to meetings, but Karen's here. She gets again.
Enough hours.
Yeah, so it's a little bit different. Yes.
I'd like to make a motion to approve the addition of the language in B, no member shall serve as chairman of the same committee for more than three consecutive terms, as presented in version one, because I think we're breaking it out.
Right? Yes,
two.
Correct.
Oh, May I make a friendly amendment, even though I'm not going to vote for it? I assume you're trying to make this effective for the incoming board.
Yes.
Right, because you wouldn't want to have some committees, if you adopt this rule change right now, all of a sudden the committee chair.
Right.
We have to vote on this as a rule when we, on the caucus anyway.
Well, but the rules are continuing part of the board, and so I think what we're really talking about, you don't want to disenfranchise somebody who's sitting here now.
No, this is to start January 1.
I didn't.
Yeah.
It could be fun. Yes.
You want it?
I don't have to be here all the time.
Exactly.
Mrs. Dash strikes again.
Somebody tell me who Mrs. Dash is. I'm sorry. I've heard this reference.
Dash,
it's a spice. It's a really salty, herbal. It goes on everything.
It's the Midwest excuse for the spice.
I'm sorry.
It's a Midwestern for cooking.
So,
I grew up in the South. They're staple with sugar and grease.
Okay, so there's a motion to approve the addition to the B in version 1. Any further?
The next term, right?
Yeah, start beginning January 2010. Any further discussion? All those in favor? That's Merrill, Sangiello, Johnson, and Brandel. All opposed? Baker. All abstentions? Friedman and Hesmahan. Okay. So now, if we look at version 2, we've done the A. We've done the second sentence in B. So now on the first sentence, which is each committee shall choose its own chairman among its members who shall serve at the pleasure of the committee.
So, yeah, this is weird because version 1 and version 2B don't sort of jive.
Well, we've changed it. So because version 1, the president shall designate from among members.
Oh, right. Sorry.
So this is where we all get together on the, first couple of meetings and vote on who will be chair. That's what that
is. But that's inconsistent with the one you just passed.
No. We've passed this. So this one, if we adopted version 1, the question is, do we want any of these edits put in?
You couldn't elect someone who'd already served 3 consecutive terms.
No, I understand that. But, I mean, are you saying that there are 2 members? I'm sorry.
We're saying that rather than the chairman, right now the president appoints the chairperson and vice chairperson. What in version 2 is being suggested, that not happen. The president would appoint the members of the committee. Those members would determine who their chair was. And then in C, the duly appointed or elected chosen chair would choose his or her own vice chair. But that's separate.
Okay. Would you like comment?
So what I want to break this out. So we've done the second sentence in B. So now, whether each committee would choose its own chair. So yes.
Okay. Again, I would respectfully suggest that's not wise. I think. Let me tell you the problem. Again, you have 9 committees. One of the things. Now, again, this is maybe a philosophical choice that you want to make, but I'm not sure it's wise. And it's not just because I've served a president. I think you've got to have some ability to try and allocate the work around the board. You could have a committee choose a member who could serve as chair of 2 roles, or they might be disqualified. They might say, I'm not going to choose. And you have a whole challenge of doing it in a committee, but it's hard enough to do when you're doing it as an appointment process. So I'm not going to support it, but I don't think there's...
Yes.
I'm a little worried that there's too many moving parts to it. I mean, you could have people elect... who goes first? You know, there's overlap. No, I know. There's overlap on committees that people are on. And, it may well deny members of a committee the chance to elect the person they really want because another committee went before them and voted that same person to be the chair. The other one, I understand. This one, I just... Too much Mrs. Dash.
Okay. Did you have your hand up there?
you'll be forever remembered for this.
I mean, personally,
not too sure
you're on Facebook tonight. Yeah.
I'm not wedded to this change. This just it was a brainstorming session that Alderman Sangiolo and I had. I mean, I agree there are some challenges to it. So, you know, when we put this forward, it was really the second sentence which we've already moved in. Approved, yes, all essential.
Yeah, and the reason that I think it came about was because we realized that currently in the rules, in C, it says that the chairman of each committee shall appoint a vice chair. And we thought, why doesn't the committee use its own chair? Because that seems to be what happens on commissions.
Right.
I do hear what you're saying about, you know, the overlap of and who gets to go first, but I think because all the committees don't meet at the same time, you get to find out, so so-and-so got appointed chair of finance. Well, you know, theoretically, I'm going to guess nobody wants to be chair of more than one committee, just because it's just way too much work. So I think we'd all find out, and I think we'd be able to work it out. But it's no big deal. I really wanted the second sentence passed. So.
Okay, so it doesn't sound like there's any real interest in that? Okay, so we're not going to do that. Okay, on C of version 2, the chairman of each committee shall appoint a vice chairman. And we have put forward subject to the approval of the president.
We delete it.
Delete it, right. So that whoever is the chair could work with the members of the committee. Yes. Now let me think. Let me just kind of...
Go for it, Karnak.
You're for this one. Right? It was the old mayonnaise in that jar. Would you like to speak, President Baker?
I again respectfully suggest this is not wise. Part of the challenge of putting the board together is to try and allocate some of the opportunity for learning about committees and roles to different people. And it's very important to be able to, you know, it's a joint decision. I've never asked a vice, at least in my tenure, someone to take a vice chair who they were uncongenial with. At the same time, there are different people who can serve different roles, and it's part of the challenge of putting that together. So I think you want to maintain the flexibility of running the president.
Okay. Well, can I just challenge what you just said? Because sure. The way this is worded, let me read it. The chairman of each committee shall appoint a vice chair, subject to the approval of the president. That's not what I believe happens. I believe you appoint as the or have been in my limited time with Brooke, that the president appoints the chairs and vice chairs. Right. And that all comes out in one fell swoop. So...
Well, not exactly. Let me just describe the process. But it's a legitimate point. What happens is you go around and you try and figure out who's going to chair the committees after you've decided the composition of the committee, just to describe what happens inside the black box of the chairman's or the president's brain. Then the challenge is to say, okay, what people who serve on the committee can serve as vice chairs who are not occupied in other roles. And there's a conversation that generally goes on. I think I recall having a conversation with you about whether Alderman Friedman would be an appropriate vice chair. But ultimately, they're all announced at the same time, but there are conversations that goes on, at least in my experience, with each of the chairs about who they would like to serve with, subject to the problem of using them in another capacity.
Well, I guess, and when we, being Alderman Sangiolo and Dan and I were talking about this, you know, I know the conversations that we've had. But I guess it's the lack of transparency and so forth, as you know, and just talking to other chair people over the years. Maybe that's part of the issue, is that it's, you know, it's a conversation, but you may, as a chairman, put out or put forth a couple of ideas, but at the end of the day, it's my feeling that the president and the two that I've served with have made the choices. Not necessarily. Me and other committee chairs have said the same thing. So anyway, having said that, that was my... Because if we stuck to this, then I think, you know, where it says subject, you know, and then I wouldn't... If we followed the letter of the law, so to speak,
then I wouldn't feel so compelled about subject to the approval of present being deleted. That's my thought as a co-docketer.
Well, can I just add one other thought to that, just to clarify something? Part of the difficulty, too, though, is that you could have two chairs to choose the same person to be a vice chair under that model. At least with the president's oversight, the opportunity to be a vice chair is spread around the board. Now, it doesn't mean that some president couldn't precisely do exactly that. You could have people serve as vice chairs of multiple committees, you know. But I'm not sure that's... I think it's more risky. That risk is greater if just the chair has the discretion without consulting the president.
Well, you could have consulting rather than approval after consultation with the president.
Well, but that consultation doesn't mean that...
That's my thought.
You know your view. That's fine.
I'm just trying to think of an instance where the president would object to the appointment made by a chair. So I guess you'd have to look at personalities. See if personalities conflict or people's expertise conflicted. I don't know. But I think Marcy really hit it. It's the transparency. Because those conversations may happen, but if we follow the letter of the rule, it says it's the chair that is going to do the selection process, subject to your approval. And we don't see that happening.
But I, with all respect, Amy, it's a conversation that is not easy to do in a goldfish bowl.
Then change the rule.
No, seriously, it's not a...
I understand it, but then change the rule. Make it that the president shall appoint the chair and the vice chairs.
Subject to approval of the chair?
No, and that's it. That'll be it. That'll be consistent with your practice. What your practice is, it's not consistent.
No, my practice is to talk to the chair about who the vice chair would be, and then we have a conversation about it. But it's really each has a mutual veto under this model. If Alderman Johnson, to be a simple example, and I'm not saying this would have happened, and I'm using examples because it's obviously not, I said, how about Alderman Friedman as vice chair? And Alderman Johnson said, no, I can't serve with Alderman Friedman. I don't like the color of his tie. That's why it was
trying to accommodate.
This is the Brandel model. Then it would have been very, I think, unwise of me to insist on that. Now, the problem is, though, that you're still trying to staff the whole board. So, again, you all can do whatever you want. I think it's ill-advised, but you make your call and we'll discuss it. Try to explain why.
Alderman has my hand.
I'm not quite ready to support this one yet either. I'm not quite sure what the problem to be erased is. If the chairman in the first instance gets to appoint the vice chairman subject to the approval of the president and that's not happening, then, I think it's up to the chairman to bring it to the board that it's not happening. I'd rather that happen than have it. I think actually what Lyle's saying about, trying to give everybody as many opportunities as possible. Of course, if we change the rule on consecutive terms, this next problem may take care of itself. I don't know. But I'm just not ready. I'm, again, too many moving parts.
Okay. Alderman Merrill, any comments?
No. I agree with the Alderman from Ward 3.
Okay. Alderman Bramble?
I guess I just don't understand the value of the role of vice chair to be, but that this would be such a controversial item.
Aren't you vice chair or something?
Yeah.
I think there's a problem.
In the shadow of the
president, there's no report.
I had to do that.
You did it quite
well.
There you go.
I don't know. I don't really care, but it just seems like if we're going to do a change to the section of the rules, that we just make it the practice equal what the rule says. That's all. So are you moving anything?
You want it to be consistent. You want the board to be consistent with the practice.
That's the word, right? Okay, so I'm going to move to approve this, and when it fails, we'll just report it out that way.
Okay. So the so it will read. C would read: the chairman of each committee shall appoint a vice chair. Period.
Period.
Okay. Motion to approve. Any further discussion? If not, all those in favor? Alderman Sangiolo and Johnson. All opposed? That's Merrill, Hess, Mahan, and Baker. Abstentions? Friedman and Brendel. Okay. We have one last item, and that is on the first page of our agenda, 27609 Terrence Sachs, 64 Dorka Road, Newton Center. This was the fellow who had gone beyond his term limit that's imposed upon members of the Youth Commission. And Karen, would you like to update us on what you've been attempting to do?
In attempting to get perhaps an alternate appointment from Bedros, mayor's office, but that really hasn't happened, so I guess they'll do it when they find somebody. But in the meantime, it doesn't need to stay on here.
Right, because you can't serve.
Move in AM?
No, we can't. We have to deny it.
Oh, we have to deny it. Deny it.
Okay, there's a motion to deny. Any further discussion? If not, all those in favor? That's Merrill, Friedman, Hessmahan, Sangiolo, Johnson, Brendel, and Baker. Okay, I think that's it. Our next meeting is November 4th, right after election night. We all ought to be in really good shape. For cigarettes.
For cigarettes, yes.
I appreciate you taking cigarettes first, although I should be here.
Yeah. I'll be here bringing cigars.
No, I'm going to bring the electronic cigarettes. One of the advantages of proposing this is I now have a lot of cigarette companies, electronic cigarette companies, following me on Twitter.
First mistake is being on Twitter.
Well, one man's gravy is another man's stash.